right, Revelation chapter 22. I began looking at this last week, and I thought this would be a good week to invite Tara and Eric's class out here to be in my class this morning. I know that y'all love your own classes. You love being in your class with the people just at your age, and I wouldn't normally take you from it. But as I began to prepare this, I thought this would be a very, very good lesson for our children to hear, our young people to hear. And I've prepared it with you in mind, and I believe it'll be a blessing to those of you who are older, too, if you listen carefully and prayerfully. I titled the lesson this morning, Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Now, all of us here are Calvinists, and all you young people, you know what the Bible teaches. When somebody tells you something different, you know it. You recognize it. You see it's not so. Already, you know this. You know God is God. He's God. He's the Almighty. God does whatever He pleases. And nobody can ask Him why. Nobody can say anything to Him. Stop Him. You know that. You know that God chose to save a people. And those people will be saved. Now, you know that. You know that you've been taught that. Those people will be saved, won't they? Because God does what He wills. And you know this. You know all men are sinners. You know that all we can do is sin. We can't do one holy thing. So somebody tells you, you know, be good and God will save you. When you hear that, you know that's not true. You know that's a lie. If we're going to be saved, somebody else is going to have to do the saving, aren't they? Somebody else is going to have to save us because we cannot save ourselves. You know that. And I know you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. You've been taught that. You know how Christ made His people righteous. He did it by His obedience to the law for them. You know that He suffered and died. His blood put their sin away. They're not saved because they kept the law. Because they didn't. They couldn't do it. Christ kept it for them. They couldn't do anything to pay for their sin. Christ paid for it for them. Christ didn't die for all men everywhere. Now you know that. Christ died for God's elect, and those people shall be saved. Here's something else you know. You wonder, why is Frank teaching a lesson telling me everything I already know? You know, normally you teach a lesson and tell something I don't know. But this is what you know. You know salvation is not a decision you make for Jesus. Now, you know that. You know if somebody's trying to tell you, decide to let Jesus into your heart, you know that person's lying to you. I know you know that. Salvation is something that God does for you and God does in you by His grace. We can't do something to get God to save us because we're good or we decided to accept Jesus. Salvation is by God's undeserved grace for sinners. Now you know that, and somebody tries to tell you different, you know they're lying to you. Now all that's true. Every bit of that's true. But don't ever forget this too, because this is also true. If you would be saved, you must believe Jesus. You must believe the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to Christ. You must. Your parents can't do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. If you would be saved, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're responsible to come to Christ. You're responsible to do that. Now, God's sovereign and man is responsible. Both of those things are true. So if we're not saved, it's not God's fault. We can't say, well, I'm not saved because God didn't choose me. You know, I want to be saved, but I can't be saved. Christ didn't die for me. That's not why we're not saved. If we're not saved, it's our own fault. Because we didn't believe. Because we didn't come to Christ. We cannot be saved by being religious. Coming to Christ is not just being religious. Believing Christ is not simply knowing the right doctrine. We're saved by knowing Christ. We're saved by believing Him, by resting in Christ. Now, resting in Christ, that's something preachers like to say. You know what that means, to rest in Christ? It means quit trying to make God happy with you by what you do or what you don't do. God's pleased with His people in Christ. So just rest in Christ. Just Christ is all it takes. Christ is enough. That's believing Christ. It's resting in Him. Here in our class, we've been studying through the book of Revelation. You see, we're almost to the very end of it. And the book of Revelation doesn't just tell us what is going to happen at the very end of time. The book of Revelation tells us what God's always been doing for his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. It does tell us what's going to happen at the end of time. And the reason all those things are going to happen is because of what Christ has done for his people. The book of Revelation is about Christ. It's about salvation in him and what he's done for his people. And God has always been calling his people to Christ. Ever since Adam fell, God's been calling sinners to come to Christ, the Savior of sinners. John tells us that in Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In our lesson this morning, I want to compel you to come to Christ. Compel you. Brother Henry said, preach for a decision. I want to preach so that you're compelled to come to Christ. And I'm going to give you three reasons from this verse of Scripture that sinners come to Christ. Number one, you come to Christ because of who calls us to Christ. You know, Scripture says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Well, he gives us three qualified witnesses here, calling sinners to Christ. First, the first witness is God the Holy Spirit. He says, come to Christ. Now that is good news. God the Holy Spirit says, come to Christ. We never would and we never could come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws us to Christ. Only God the Holy Spirit can make us willing to come to Christ. And he does that for God's people. Psalm 110, verse 3 says that his people shall be willing in the day of his power. God, the Holy Spirit, makes us willing to come to Christ. And the Spirit of God knows the Lord Jesus Christ better than anyone. You think about this. Nobody knows what you are, what you're like on the inside. Nobody knows that better than you, right? You know your own thoughts, the way you really are. You know, there's a way we present ourselves to the public, isn't it? But you know what you really are on the inside. That's your spirit. Well, the Spirit of Christ knows Christ better than anyone. You know what he says about Christ? You come to him. You come to him because he's everything you need. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Our Lord told his disciples that he would send another comforter, that he would send the Holy Spirit to them after he had died and been resurrected and ascended back to the Father. He's going to send the comforter, send the Holy Spirit, John 16, verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove, he'll convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now here's three things the Holy Spirit always shows God's people. He convinces us of sin. He shows us not just that all men are sinners. He shows us we're sinners. Verse 9. He convinces them of sin because they believe not on me. Now, I didn't become a sinner when I told a lie. I did not become a sinner when I stole a cookie from the cookie jar. My mom told me you can have two cookies, and I ate two, she left the room, and I took a third one. That's not when I became a sinner. You know why I told a lie? You know why I stole that cookie from the cookie jar? Because I was born a sinner. I came that way. And all I did when I told a lie and I stole a cookie is I revealed my sin nature. The way I know I have a sin nature is this. It's not just that I told a lie. It's not just that I stole a cookie. Here's the way I can tell I've got a sin nature. I will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he convinces, because they believe not on me. I've got a sin nature. I will not believe on Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit has to draw me. Second, the Holy Spirit teaches us, convinces us of righteousness. He convinces God's people the only righteousness you and I will ever have is the righteousness of Christ. Verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Now here's how we know the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. He's sinless. Because after he died, the Father raised him from the dead. Took him back to glory to sit on the right hand of the Father. Now, he never would have done that unless the Lord Jesus Christ had no sin. He's perfectly righteous. Now, I'm a sinner. He's already convinced me of my sin nature. I need a righteousness. I need Christ to be my righteousness because I don't have any. Christ is the only righteousness that God looks at. And that's why I go to Christ, because he's the righteousness that a sinner like me needs. Third, the Holy Spirit convinces us of this, that all the sin of God's people has been put away by the sacrifice of Christ. Verse 11 of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Satan, the prince of this world, is judged. He's condemned. Christ has crushed his head at Calvary, and Satan cannot deceive God's people anymore because their sin has been judged and put away by the sacrifice of Christ. And that's why I come to Christ. The only way my sin can be judged and me still live is if Christ died as my substitute. If he died as my substitute, he put my sin away. So come to Christ. Christ has removed every obstacle between God and sinners. So come to Christ. And the Holy Spirit draws sinners to Christ by showing us how wonderful he really is. Look at in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. What that means, he's not going to make a show of himself. He's not going to make a show of making people speak in tongues and foam at the mouth and roll around the floor. That's not the Holy Spirit. That could be another spirit, but that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not how you tell that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He'll not speak of himself. Here's how you tell the Spirit speaking to you. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he'll show it unto you. And here's what he'll show us. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now the Holy Spirit shows us all truth. He shows us that God elected a people to save in Christ. He chose to save them through the sacrifice of Christ. Now maybe God chose me. Maybe he did. And in one way I can find out. That's the only way I'll ever know. God's elect, Christ died for God's elect, and they're saved. Their sin's put away, and the Holy Spirit shows them that. Maybe Christ died for me. And the only way I'm ever going to know is by coming to Christ. See, we can't think, and I tell you this, I know I'm telling you this, not from my own experience, I'm telling you this. We cannot say, well, I'd come to Christ if I knew I was one of God's elect. I'd just believe if I knew I was one of the elect. The only evidence we'll ever have that we're one of the elect is faith. Faith in Christ. If I believe that all it takes to save somebody like me is Christ, that's faith in Christ. That's the only evidence I'll ever have I'm one of the elect. If Christ is your only hope of salvation, you know you cannot be saved any other way, and you need him, then you're one of God's elect. Christ died for you. The Holy Spirit gives that faith that reveals Christ to a sinner like you and me. The Holy Spirit of God says, come. And here's the second witness that says, come to Christ. John said the Spirit and the bride both say the same thing, come to Christ. Now the bride is God's church. Now, what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of this gathering, this body of believers, this group of people? The church is not just building. The church is people. Now, what's the purpose of the church? Think about that. Is it friendship? Is it so we got buddies, you know, we can pal around with, or, you know, say these are my friends, or, you know, what? So we had that gushy feeling? What is it? The purpose of the church is to preach the gospel. That's the sole purpose of the church. God told Peter, you feed my sheep. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel so that sinners will be saved. You preach Christ. You hold him up so people see he's so wonderful, they must come to him. You preach Christ and you hold him up in all of his glory so his people will be fed, so their hearts will be encouraged and comforted. The only way the Holy Spirit will ever speak to anybody is through the preaching of the gospel, through the preaching of the word. And the church says the exact same thing that the Holy Spirit says. Come. Come to Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know why the church says the exact same thing the Holy Spirit says? Because we get our message from God. God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the message. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God's given us this ministry, the gospel, to tell us how God's reconciled to sinners and how sinners are reconciled to God. Now, to wit, namely, this is the ministry of reconciliation. This is how God was reconciled. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us this word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now we beseech you in Christ's stead, in the place of Christ himself, in the place of the Spirit, we tell you, come to Christ. Now why? Why would a sinner come to Christ? Well, it's because Christ took the sin of his people away, and he made them righteous by his sacrifice. That's what he tells us in verse 21. For, here's why you should come to Christ. For, because he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The church says, come to Christ. That's our message. You come to Christ because he's everything you need. Yes, you're a sinner. You're dead in sin. He'll give you life. Yes, you're lost in sin. Christ will forgive you. You're lost, but Christ will find you. He'll save you. You're sinful. Christ will make you holy. That's the message of the church. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And the third witness John gives us is him that heareth, says, come. Now, that's all the people in the church. It's not just pastors and teachers that tell people come to Christ. Everyone who's heard Christ speak to their heart says, come to Christ. I give to tell you several ways. Your parents, the people of this congregation, preach this gospel and tell people come to Christ. They do it by supporting the gospel. They get up every morning and go to work, work a job, and so that they have money to give to support the gospel, because they want everyone to hear this gospel. You know, the gospel from here goes out on the radio, goes out on the internet, gets bulletins, and somebody's got to pay for all that. When people get up and go to work in the morning so they can give an offering to support the gospel, they're telling people, come to Christ. When things need to be done around this building and people all show up and a big work party gets stuff done, they're doing what needs to be done. So we've got a place where the gospel can be preached. That's telling people, come to Christ. Parents tell their children to come to Christ. Now, it's a lot of times they do that to you at home, and you go home and they ask you about your lesson, or they talk to you about your memory verses and those things, you know. They're telling you, come to Christ. I'll tell you another way they tell you come to Christ. By bringing you to these services. They get you up on Sunday morning to bring you in here to your classes, come out here in the service, bring you on Wednesday nights. You know why they're doing that? They're telling you, come to Christ. They want you to hear the gospel. That's everyone who hears Christ tells people, come to Christ. I want you to enjoy the blessings I've enjoyed in him. And you know no one who has ever heard Christ and come to him. Not one of them has ever been disappointed. Not one. Not one poor, wretched sinner has ever been turned away from Christ. Not one. You come to Christ, you won't be first. I can promise you that. Now, all of us have heard preachers say, come to Christ. The youngest people in this room have heard a preacher say, come to Christ, more times you can count. I'm not telling the truth, by the way. You've heard that more times you can count. I told you the title of the lesson this morning, Come to Christ. You thought, oh boy, here he goes again. Well, what is it to come to Christ? I want you to know, what is it to come to Christ? You young people, whatever age you are sitting here, I was your age, sitting right there. Every one of you, I was your age, sitting there. And just like you, I heard Brother Henry say, come to Christ more times than I can count. And in my head, I'm screaming, if you just tell me where he is, I'll go. If you just tell me how, I will. What is it to come to Christ? Number one, look at John chapter 7. Number one, to come to Christ is to believe Christ. It's simply to believe him. You know, you don't have to go anywhere to come to Christ. Right where you sit, without moving off your chair, you come to Christ by believing him. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now that might have sounded strange to somebody. What is it? What does that mean? Well, he tells us, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's what it is to come to Christ and drink. It's to believe him. To believe him. Second, to come to Christ is to obey him. You know, the Savior stood and said, if any man thirst, let him come. Believe on me. To come to Christ is to obey him. Come to Christ without any fear of him rejecting you. Because you're obeying his command to come. He told you to come. Then he'll give you water if you come. And thirdly, to receive Christ, to come to Christ, is to receive Christ as a beggar. Now, it's not earning something now. It's receiving a free gift from God. Look back a few pages at John chapter 4. John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. See, that's what it is to come to Christ, is to receive a free gift. To come to Christ, you got to quit trying to make God happy with you by what a good boy or good girl you are. If you're going to come to Christ, you got to quit thinking, well, the more moral I am or the better I keep the law, you know, the more God will accept me. To come to Christ is to leave all that behind. Leave behind everything that it is about you except your sin and come to him and receive salvation freely. That's coming to Christ. The Spirit, the bride, and everyone who's ever heard Christ says, come to Christ. All right, second, come to Christ. People who come to Christ because they need him. You come to Christ because you need him. Whether you know it or not, you need Christ. John here describes two kinds of people who come to Christ. And both of them come because of their need. First, he says, everyone who's thirsty will come to Christ. Now, what is it to be thirsty? Why do we become thirsty? Well, we become thirsty because we recognize we don't have enough water in us. My mouth, I keep a glass of water up here all the time. I see preachers, they got a glass of water. Janet puts this water up here for them. They never drink a drop. I don't know how in this world they do that. My mouth gets so dry and thirsty. I recognize back of my throat's dry. I need water there. I need something. I don't have something in me that I need. I need water from the outside of me. Well, to be spiritually thirsty is to be thirsty for righteousness. Because I recognize I don't have any in me. All that's in me is sin, so I need righteousness from the outside of me. I need it to be given to me. So that's why I come to Christ. See, this doesn't say if anybody knows they're one of the elect, they come to Christ, does it? Now, who comes to Christ? Those who are athirst. They're thirsty. You do not come to Christ because you know you're one of God's elect. Nobody's ever done that. Sinners come to Christ because they're thirsty. They need Christ in them. And every thirsty sinner who's ever come to Christ has been completely satisfied. We just read it. Our Lord said, whoever drinks of him will never thirst again, because they'll have in them a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? I'm going to tell you again, don't make the same mistake I made. I hope you learn from my errors. Don't try to decide if you're thirsty enough. If I'm trying to decide if I'm thirsty enough, you know what I'm trying to decide? Am I really good enough? Am I really qualified? No, I'm not worthy. No. If you're thirsty, God's already been gracious to you. He's already made you thirsty. So come to Christ, and you'll never thirst again. Second, everyone who will comes to Christ. Everyone who will. Now, this is not teaching that man has a free will, and we can decide to be saved if we want to. You know nobody has a free will. Anytime you see that on a building, Free Will Baptist Church, you automatically know they know nothing about human nature. They don't know anything about anybody's nature. Nobody has a free will. Our will is controlled by our nature. It's controlled by our nature. My nature is a sin nature. So I can't do anything holy. All I can do is sin. You know, even God doesn't have free will. You know what Scripture says? God cannot lie. God cannot choose to lie because his nature is holy. The nature of honest and truth. Everyone's will is controlled by their nature. So this is not saying you can just up and decide to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Here's what this is saying. Everyone who's willing to be saved on God's terms will. Everyone who's willing for Christ to do all the saving without any help from them will be saved. God will save everyone, where he can get all the glory in saving them. That's God's terms. Now, if you're willing to be saved on God's terms, you will. So here's the question for you. It's not, are you one of the elect? The question for you is, are you willing? Will you come to Christ? Will you be saved by grace alone? Will you be saved by the righteousness of another? Will you be saved by the blood of Christ? Will you? And everybody who has a need will come to Christ. Now again, don't try to decide if your will is strong enough. Don't try to decide, well, is my will really of God? Because again, if you're trying to decide that, all you're trying to decide is if you're worthy or not. And I promise you, you're not. If you have any will to come to Christ, because you need him, God's already been gracious to you. He's already given you a new will. Now you come to Christ. You come to him for forgiveness of your sin. You come to him for salvation. You come to him for life. Here's a third thing. Whosoever's will come to Christ. Now whosoever means anyone, without any distinction. Any sinner who needs Christ will come to him. There are no other conditions to be met. God's not stopping anyone from coming to salvation. God's not stopping anybody from coming to Christ. So if we stay thirsty, it's our own fault. Because whosoever fits me, does it fit you? I can fall under that category. Then if I stay thirsty, if I stay dead, if I stay lost in my sin, it's my fault, isn't it? It's my fault. See, the gospel is a command from the King of Kings. This is a command. You come to Christ. God will damn everybody who doesn't. Now you come to Christ. That's a command from God. But Almighty God is so gracious. He's so pitiful to sinners like us. He sure makes it sound like a sweet invitation if you're a sinner. Now this doesn't sound sweet if you're righteous, you know, in yourself. But if you're a sinner, this sure sounds sweet, doesn't it? That's God's mercy to sinners. And here's a third reason to come to Christ. Come to Christ because of what sinners receive when they do. Everyone who comes to Christ receives God's grace freely. You don't have to work to get it. You have to work to keep it. Salvation is free because Christ already did all the work. See, the law says work. The law says you got to make yourself better. The law says you got to keep it up. The gospel says, rest. The gospel says, come, drink freely. Satan accuses the brethren. He points out all of our sin. But Christ said, hold it right there. Let sinners come and drink freely. I've already put all their sin away. Justice says, sinners can't come. Sin must be punished in hell. Christ says, stop right there. Let sinners come freely. I've already been punished in their place. The gospel says, come and receive everything that God has for a sinner freely. See, there's nothing stopping us from coming to Christ except our need of Christ. The only reason I would not come to Christ is I don't think I need it. But if you come to Christ, you'll receive all things freely. He will be everything that you need. So are you willing to receive salvation freely? Are you willing? If you are, God's given you a new will. I'm going to close here with the illustration a man told me about. He was on a construction job. They were finished. They had some construction materials left over. They put it out there on the curb, and they put a sign on there free. They don't want to pay somebody to take it to the dump, you know, so they just put a sign out there free. 2 days, nobody took a thing. Not one thing. And one of the men said, I'll show you how to fix that. He went out there and put a sign, said $10 each. The next morning, everything is gone. And nobody paid $10. They stole it all. That tells us our nature. We don't want anything freely. But if it's worth something, we want to steal it. God's salvation for sinners is free. That's the only way you can have it. The only way you can have it is freely. You can't earn it. You can't steal it. But you can have it freely. Because it's a gift of God's grace to sinners. And you come to Christ. All of it. Lord bless you.